About the two antennas that got married. Yeah, the ceremony wasn't good, but the reception was great. I had to do something. I mean, I already messed everything else up. Thanks, Roy. How's everybody doing? I do not like to cancel service. I try to hold out, but at level two, you know, I want to make sure that you're safe. How many knows God can meet every need? And that's what the word says. And so, hey, I don't have to stand on my word. I've got his word, and that's what I'm standing on, my word that believes his word, and your word believes his word. So, yeah, we'll stand on his word, okay? Boy, I'm off to a great start today. Yes! If there was a big hook, my wife would probably come up and get me. Winter in Ohio is winter in Ohio. That's just how it goes. But you just stay focused. Let me give you a word of encouragement. There's a lot of stuff going on Facebook. You can get yourself all messed up listening to a lot of things on Facebook. So my advice to you is get into Facebook. Stay focused on the Word of God, and you will be much happier, and you will see much results by staying focused on God's word. Well, we've been talking. Before we get started, let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us. We're going to work so that if we ever have to have a snow day again, back in the day, how many went to school when, it was a blizzard out and they never canceled school? What's up with that, man? If it snows two flakes, school's off. There's going to be a two-hour delay. It might be foggy. I'm like, we had to go to school when it was terrible out. But that was back in the day. Anyways, what I'm saying is, what we're going to work on is if we have to do that again, my job is to figure out how I can do a Facebook Live or something that at least, you know, we could give you, a devotion announcement or put one of our favorite messages online or something that, you know, we want to make sure that you have something to feed your spirit with. So we'll work on that. You know, sometimes things happen and we're not saying God did it. That's not what we're talking about. We learn from that. How many learn from that? We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, it's going to be a great day. And Father, I know sometimes I'm entertainment for you and I appreciate it. But just help us today to get through some of the stuff that you've given us so that we could learn. And it's about time that we made the devil go on the run. In the name of Jesus, all God's people say, amen. You know, I want to tell you the truth. I want to talk about the truth because the truth, I'm talking about this truth. This is the truth that will what? Set you free. And so if we can know the truth and we can apply that, hey, that's half the battle. And so most of the issue in people's minds is we believe this. We've been trained in the earth system, have we not? We've been brought up. Well, you know, we want God to do something. We all could say that's yes. But if he's already done it, we don't realize that. He's already sent Jesus. Jesus isn't coming back to the cross again. He's coming back for us, but he's not going to the Calvary again. He already provided all of what we need when he died on the cross. So God's done his part. And so in our mindset, we're wanting God to do something. But we are thinking he'll do it for somebody else, but he won't do it for me. The enemy has tainted our faith or our view because we've allowed him to look at ourselves differently, not as free, because if we understood the truth would set us free. But how many knows the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Doesn't mean we can sin willfully. What I'm talking about is that Jesus died for every sin. And if we apply that blood and we understand and our hearts are saying, God, if I've done something wrong, I repent and I want to, you know, stay focused on you. I get that. But God gave us authority. Every provision was already made. And he gave us authority, but we have our part. We have to resist the devil. The devil doesn't just go away voluntarily. He just doesn't. Most of us just, well, this is just this. I'm in this, or I'm in this kind of a battle. Or most of us don't even understand it's a spiritual battle. We tie everything to our own five senses. Our our seeing, our hearing, our touching, you know, all of those five senses that you have. And that's the realm he works in, because that's what we live in. Man, if we could plug into the spirit realm, if you're a believer, I got news for you. You're plugged in. You just have to exercise it. See, because in my mind sometimes, if we can't see it, it must not be real. When I grew up, my grandfather made magic tricks. He made some stuff for Blackstone and Houdini and stuff like that. And matter of fact, the barber I had loved magic. And I would just give him the stuff and he'd say, that's good for 26 haircuts. Man, 26 haircuts? Well, back in that day, I didn't want to get my hair cut that much. You know, because when I was growing up, this is a true story. My sister, where she's not back, there she is. They called me Bird Nest Hair Boy. I really don't know why. She probably made up that name. But maybe my mom or maybe my dad. But I would just let my hair, you know, I don't know. I look like somebody from the Mod Squad or something. But anyways, that would, you know. But the whole idea of a magic trick is deception. You know, we know in our mind, you don't really saw somebody in half. But we're like, what happened? How did that? Because they will, the magician has learned how to make your senses believe what he just did. Now, I said all that to say, I'm not into magic. Just so you know, don't leave and go, that pastor, he loves magic. I don't love magic. I don't. I mean, I was a kid, so got out of that and went on to something better. But what I'm saying is the enemy works in deception. He will try to get you to focus on something else and you'll miss what really is happening. Try to create something that isn't true. We don't really think in our minds, what if the enemy's working behind the scenes? We kind of run everything through our own filter first. Well, okay. I'm not saying that that's totally wrong, so please understand. We are human. God made us that way. I get it. But what if we were open to ask God first? Just saying. What if we said, you know what, Lord? Show me. Show me. The same barber I went to, he had those, remember back in, I was going to say this, the 90s, where you'd look at a picture and you'd have to stare at it cross-eyed and it would, like another picture would come out of it. He had a picture in his barbershop. And he'd ask, I watched him. This is where you didn't have appointments and you used to, I don't know if they do that anymore. You used to walk in and you just first come. You know, I have four people ahead of me, you know, so I'm waiting till my haircut. And every guy that got in his chair, he'd point him at that picture. You see that? Can you tell me what's in that picture? And it was just like some kind of a design. Wasn't anything per se that you could go, oh, that's a dog or a cat or anything. It would just look like some weird design. But if you stared at it long enough, something came out of that weird design. So he asked every person. And I as a good student, I thought, I'm number five in that chair. He's going to ask me. I watched him do it four times. And so I said, I better listen. So I'm listening to the people. The people are like, I don't see nothing. Or then one guy got up there and he said, yeah, I see it. It's a spaceship. It's a space shuttle. It's heading this way. And you can see. And I was like, So when I got up inside the chair, he said, hey, Brad, how are you? I said, I'm good. How are you? He said, hey, look at that picture. He said, what do you see? I looked at it and I thought, I got to give it at least about 10, 15 seconds to make it seem real. So I'm telling you right now, I lied. Okay? I've already repented of it. I'm just telling you what happened. Okay? Being honest. I was like, oh, I see a ship. Yeah, it's the space shuttle. And it's going up like this and like this. He goes, yeah, you know how many people can't see them? I said, well, it's plain as the nose on your face. He cut my hair. I got out. I didn't even get to my car. And the Lord said, are you happy with that? I'm like, stop. I had to go back in and tell everybody in the barber shop, I'm a liar. I didn't see it. I just said it. I watched it. I told him everything I just told you. And everybody laughed, thought that was funny. But I did have somebody say later, he said, I just wanted to say I thank you for that. I was like, okay, thanks God. What I'm saying is, so many times we fake our way. We don't have to fake our way. If you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have to. I didn't have to sit there and fake it. But, you know, I finally did see the shuttlecraft. I finally, because I went back to his thing and I said, I am sitting here and I'm going to see it. I sat there, I don't know how long, until finally my eyes crossed over, went back and forth. We went to the promised land back and there it was. And I was like, wow. And I thought, well, because I thought, what if I'm staring at this and there really is no shuttlecraft? But there was. You see, but at that time, I didn't even consider like God would have an answer. I'm not saying that God would tell me, hey, there's a shuttlecraft there. I'm saying he could, but I never even thought of that. I just went and relied completely on me. And if I do nothing, as I go through life, and if the enemy tries to throw me a bone, and I do nothing to challenge it, I'm a pretty easy target. If the enemy is trying to do anything, people ask me, how do you know it's the enemy? If it goes against this word, it's not God. If it does anything against this word, it is not God, it's the enemy. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Did you know Jesus would cast things out of people and it would affect even their physical healings? You know, in our mind, I have this pain, I have this. We need to go to the doctor. I'm not against doctors. I've been to doctors. I love, thank God for doctors. But what if we need to let Dr. Jesus do something? What if the doctor can't find what's wrong? I've been there, done that. I got scared. She can tell you. In 2020, I had a heart attack. And 2 years ago, on Christmas, was it Christmas Eve? Oh. Okay, she doesn't want to tell you. Yeah, it was last year. It was closer than I thought. So this is how fresh this was. I got scared. I was having all of these, it wasn't really pains in my chest as much. It was just like going through my head and down my shoulders. And then I was afraid. And then I thought I couldn't breathe right. And then it was just one thing led to another. And I was going to keep her up. So I stayed out in the front room. And finally, I just called her and said, we got to go to the doctor. She said, are you sure? And I said, yeah. Now, if I could take that back, and I knew what I knew now, but I didn't. And so off we went. 30-mile some trip to the doctor. They kept me overnight because of the history. 2 days. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. I did every test. They put all those wires on me, told me to walk on this treadmill. They said, can you run? I said, yeah. Do you want me to sprint? So I did, and I mean, and then isn't that stupid? You get in the hospital and you don't have it anymore. But anyway, after 2 days, they said, we're just going to release you because we can't find anything wrong. The billing department found a lot of things. Hallelujah. You know? So I was just like, I got to start, okay, Lord, what am I missing? What authority part am I missing? I needed to be open to God. But, you know, now I look back and I start seeing, I was afraid. Do you know that fear is not of God? If you let fear in, you've let the enemy in. If you're doubtful, that's not of God. If you worry, it's not of God. And I get it, we're human. But that's why we are so dependent on him, past our own understanding. In the normal realm, maybe I would be afraid or would be, but in God's, in him I live, I move, I have my being. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am more than a conqueror. But you see, I wasn't grabbing for those scriptures. So I was tuning God out and just believing, okay. Can I tell you from experience, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. We have to deal with the physical as well. I get it. If you shut your finger in the car door, that hurts. And when it gets all blue and black, that's the natural physical reaction for shutting your finger in the car door. But God didn't shut your finger in the door, did he? You see, there's balance. We have to have balanced thinking. We do everything. When I grew up, there was a comedian on TV that was, the devil made me do it. You heard that all that, and that was a standard line. The devil made me do it. How much really can the devil make you do unless you buy into it? You understand that the only reason he got into the garden is because they had to give it to him? You know, there's people that, I know there's people that don't like me. It doesn't mean a demon caused them to not like me. Maybe I just did something stupid, done that before. Sometimes people that don't like you learn to like you later because they found out, oh, that was just something stupid you did. You see, God gave us a brain. And what we want to do is, as human beings and what the world does is we don't want to be accountable for anything. So that's why we make God the, God did that. God did this. Insurance companies put God on it for this and this and this, depending if it's a flood or hurricane, and you know, da-da-da-da-da. We always want to blame God. God could have done it. He didn't, and so it's his fault. The devil made me do it. The devil did this. The devil did that. When are we ever going to start saying, you know what? I had a part to play. I had a fellow come down front and wanted prayer. Said he was possessed or oppressed by the enemy. Prayed for him on two or three different occasions. Got free. And he was excited about church. He was excited about God. Said, man, this is awesome. This is great. Then he heard somebody else say something or whatever. And then he told me I was off my rocker. He told me that I worked for the devil. And I'm thinking, how then did you get delivered? The devil doesn't deliver himself, does he? But anyways, he wrote me and gave me his feelings, and I wrote him back and said, I make no apologies for the word of God. We love you, and pretty much left it like that. And he said, see you. And I said, bye, Felicia. I mean, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I'm sorry. She's shaking her head at me like, well, she wouldn't have said that. Well, what I'm saying is, everything that happens could be us playing into the enemy's hands, and it could be derived from the enemy, but not necessarily. It could be just our stupidity, just not looking at, hey, God, what do you want me to do? Let's get started. This isn't going to take us long. Did you know all authority comes from God, and God is the source of everything created? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything, whether spiritual, angelic, physical being, was created by God. He's the source. He has all power and authority. And we find out that he delegated his authority to us. So we grew up in church where we're saying God is sovereign. You know, God is, and we believe God is sovereign. I get that, but I'm gonna define it. We grew up saying it's God's sovereignty. He rules and controls everything. That's not what the Word teaches. And I'm going to show you that. A lot of believers get upset when they say, I'm not saying God's not sovereign. I'm going to give you the definition. But for years, the church has taught that God is sovereign and everything that happens is controlled by God. God allowed it. God's teaching me a lesson. None of that is scriptural. God had to allow that or this. But that's not what is taught. That's not what the word teaches. That's what is taught. God's sovereignty. The dictionary defines sovereignty as first in rank, order, and authority. That is God, as that definition states. First in rank, order, and authority. But religion has taken liberties on that word and to mean something that God controls everything, and that's not true. And that's wrong teaching, and we like to blame God for everything, and that's not true because it makes us passive. For 2 Peter 3:3-9, knowing first the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this is they will willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and the water and by which the world and then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth are now preserved by the same word and reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if I had your Bible, I would highlight that part. Not willing that any should perish. This is God saying his will. I'm not willing that any should perish. That's pretty simple. It's easy to read. It is God's will for every person to be saved and be in heaven. That's his will. He doesn't want anybody to last. Let me ask, or to die. So, I mean, to perish without knowing him. So does his will come to pass? He just said, I don't wish that any would perish. Does that happen? Jesus said, many will come in the broad gate, but few by the narrow gate into everlasting life. You see, Jesus is saying most people aren't going to accept this gift he's giving them, salvation. If his will automatically came to pass, every person would be saved. And we know that's not true. That just doesn't happen. So his will, God's will, although he wants none to perish, doesn't automatically come to pass. Why is that, Brett? Because he gave authority and power for you and I to have a free will to choose. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both you and your descendants may live. God gave us the power to decide, the choice. He gave you a free will. He won't force you to do what you don't want to do, or he won't force you to do what he wants you to do. He doesn't sovereignly rule and control everything like that. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That tells us there's two sides. Some things are of God, submit to those. Others are not, they're from the enemy. Resist those and fight against them. If God controlled everything sovereignly, then if you would resist sickness, you'd resist poverty, you would resist depression, those are all negative. If you resist him, then wouldn't you be resisting God? Because he sovereignly put those there for you. I do believe he's almighty. I do believe he is sovereign, but not in the way that religion says it. God has delegated a certain degree of that power to us, his kids. You see, what happens if we believe that he controls everything, it's just his will, then we become passive. You have nothing to do. You have nothing to, you don't need to use the word, because why do anything? It's his will. If he's sovereign and he controls it all, he knew it all, then why do we even have to choose? See, there's people that just accept everything as his will. I just talked with somebody the other day, and they had a sickness, and they said, it's God's will. And I said, no, it's not. And they just looked at me, and I said, I could prove it to you. And they're good people. Let me just say, they're good people, but they're misguided because in their thinking. I said, hey, you know what? My boss cures things like that. We just accept everything that the enemy dishes out. We let the enemy play with our lives and just destroy us. There are denominations that say that God is sovereign to the point that nothing happens and only happens because it's God's will. And I'm just saying, I used to teach some of that. And I was wrong. I used to say nothing happens to you unless it goes through the hand of God. I know God is all-knowing, but how many knows you have choices? There's stuff that I've went through I never would have had to go through. But I made stupid decisions. Anybody else? So if the enemy had to get permission, you know, everybody always goes back to Job. Well, they had to go get permission from God. And if the enemy has to get permission, you don't have to have any authority because God's got it all. But according to the scripture, after Jesus came, he took all that authority from the enemy and gave it back to you. God is not using the enemy to get your attention or to teach you a lesson. What kind of a father would I be if I just say, go out in that street and see how a speed bump feels? That's not, you know, I'm just going to teach you a lesson. You're only going to do it once. But so many churches are teaching that you have no choice. I mean, if this was a game show, I'd take stupid answers for 100, please. I've even heard stories where they've tried to back up this kind of garbage, where there's stories, and I'm just saying, there's people that are like, I just want people to come to Jesus. So this is what they said. This was a documented story. This person said that they asked God for cancer, and then they got leukemia and died, and 4 people got saved. Then somebody else said, I want that to happen. We're friends with them, so they asked for cancer. They got it, died, 4 more people got saved. Can I say God did not answer those prayers, but the devil did? And you might, yeah, but 8 people come to Christ. I get it, but how many more people would have come to Christ if they would have lived a good life full of fruit and full of God's, come on. God doesn't give you cancer. Destruction, death, sickness, disease, that's the devil. The devil will take those kind of losses because he wants to just overrun you. He always overplays his hand. So, Brett, what do we do? I'm saying, listen to me. I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know a whole lot of people that are preaching as frank as this. Watch for anything. Anything. If you're like, I am going through it. I mean, this is H-E double hockey sticks. This has been this. It's been that. It's been. Then look at what's happening. What is there anything that you are allowing that you need to take care of? If you have the old theory, well, God will take care of it. You're going through it. Maybe you should. What if you could stop it? Watch for anything. Look for anything that goes against the Word of God. Anything that you're doing, anything, maybe what you're saying, what you're agreeing to. The devil just needs a little bit, and he can ruin a lot. You know, there's talk in the Bible that talks about, you know, a little bit of leaven. You know, stuff could ruin the whole batch. I had people like, oh, I don't understand. Okay, I make it real easy. Let's say I made brownies. And I'm going, everybody, we got brownies, but you know what? I didn't have enough chocolate. But I found some mud, and it was about the same color. I just mixed it in. All is good. How many wants a brownie? You're all going to be like, no. Well, I didn't mix very much, but it ruined the whole batch. Do you understand my point? Watch for anything that goes against the Word of God. There was a story of one guy that said that God told him to fast his word for 6 months. I'm like, what are we watching, the Three Stooges? Sweet, like, no, God would never do that. He's not going to keep you from his word. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It is a two-edged sword. Come on, you have to have an... If you believe that, then the enemy has got you duped. The enemy is a copycat. He'll do anything to try to copy God. You must be aware of his, the Bible calls him the wiles, the tactics of the devil. Because the enemy uses people. So does God. But God's people have to go with this. This is your plumb line. If it doesn't match this, and there can be well good people. I'm not saying everybody is bad. There, you know, we've all been taught wrong things, wrong doctrine, wrong theology. I get it. But if we open this book and we go, that's what that says, then that's what I'll believe. Yeah, that. Yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah. I kept hearing that too, but I thought, I don't know how it's rubbing my shirt or something. You know, this is the bottom line. You either believe God or you don't. I mean, and some of us are on a journey to believe God, and I get it. I understand that. I know I say I get it a lot, but I mean, I love this about my wife, because we canceled service. And, you know, Ohio Edison and Columbia Gas and all, they're not believers. They're just like, this is your monthly payment, you know. And if we don't have church, we don't have people that are here to give. And you understand all that. This is what she said before I could even say anything. So how many knows life and death is in your mouth, and to choose what? Life. She said, I don't care if ravens have to bring whatever is needed, he'll do it. I was like, I can't work my neck like her, but you know. You have to know the word. People, we have to know the word. Because if you don't know the word, you can be swayed. You can submit to the wrong thing. So if you know what the word says, then you can stand firm and you can stand strong. And you go, this is what the word says. And they could say something that sounds convincing, but what does the word say? If I don't know the truth, I can't get free. I have to know the truth. We've all been lied to by the enemy. The sovereignty of God is where, you know, we've come in through the growing up of, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We have to get past those kind of things and say, God, how do I get a hold of what you want me to have? I got people that are saying, yep, that's right. He's going to preach health and wealth all day long. You'll hear me say something every week. But listen to me. I'm not talking about getting rich for the sake of getting rich. You know what? If you get wealth, it's okay to have nice things. Just don't let them have you. He might tell you, hey, give that to that person. Then you need to give that to that person. People can say, well, no, that's not you. Well, I've done it. I've done it in vehicles. I've done it in computers and jewelry and in money. We've done it. And God has done amazing. So what do they want me to preach? Poverty and sickness? Well, that'll bring out the band, won't it? God does not control your life like a chess piece to go against your will. You have choices. How many have kids? Have you ever had to, I mean, I've told our kids, clean your room.
I'm not going to clean my room.
You will clean your room.
I will not clean my room.
Yes, you will. Why? Because you won't eat until it's clean.
I will clean my room.
That works for the boys, because boys and food go together. And then we've had times where you've had your kid at the table. You need to at least taste that.
I'm not. I hate it. You've never tasted. I hate it.
Well, you'll sit there till you at least taste it. Now, when I grew up, I was part of the clean platers club. My mama didn't let me down till you cleaned your plate, whether you liked it or not. Now, sometimes I sat there a long time. We didn't do that to our kids. We just told them, just taste it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. Simple enough. And Mallory, the worship leader, she sat there at 4 years, maybe four. I'm not going to eat. It was chicken and noodles. Jesus would eat chicken and noodles. You will taste those. I don't like them. You will taste them. I don't like them. You can't get down until you taste them. So if you taste them and you don't like it, you don't have to eat anymore. So she tasted it. She loved them. To this day, one of her favorite meals, chicken and noodles. Thank you, Jesus. Tried to tell you, you owe me one. But you have choices. You see, we have to choose life. That's the answer to the pop quiz. Choose life. Some people say, well, God can, if you believe God controls you perfectly, anybody in here besides me ever do something? God told you to do this and you didn't do it? Wish you would have, but you didn't? We did opposite of what he said. We weren't forced to do it. We had a choice. We could go our own way or we could do this. I made choices that didn't work out too well. The nice thing about God is he forgives. Amen? You repent, you're like, that was so stupid. And you can move forward. So he doesn't control you 100%. If he did, you can't even answer that question. Well, yeah, God told me to do that. That's like, I mean, do you believe God told you? I mean, we could go really wacko, and I'm not going to, but of all the craziness that happens in this world, then that means that God told them to do that? I think not. If he doesn't control you 100%, what makes you think he controls everything else 100%? You have authority to be exercised. Most of us back in the day, why try? Whatever happens, happens. You can learn through negative experiences. We've done it. We've taught our kids, you know. You ever had, don't do that. Tried to tell you. So then they don't do it again. I worked at Ponderosa. That's where I met Kim, Ponderosa. And then I had worked with a guy. They put him up on fry as a fry cook. Real nice guy. His nickname was Poke. Oh, hopefully you're not watching Poke. But we had an all-you-can-eat fish fry. And it was his first day on the job. He was doing really well. I was the cook. He dropped his tongs into the grease. He reached into the grease to get his tongs, pulled his arm out, screamed. He went to the ER. The next day, he's at work, his hand is all bandaged up, and he wants to do the fry station again. He took potatoes out of the oven, set the rack of 450-degree potato, was losing control of it because of his hands in a bandage, set it on his lip. He made another visit to the ER. But in that time, before he lipped his potatoes or potatoed his lip or whatever, he dropped his tongs in the grease again. And he went, oh, and went like this. And just before he hit the grease, he went. And I looked at him, I said, you're learning. Then he did his lip. And then I thought, oh, boy. But anyways, you know, negative experiences, you can learn some things. You don't want to go through them again. But it's not God's fault. God didn't say, reach in there and get that, would you? I mean, I did dunk my hand in grease, but I didn't do it on purpose. I dropped the grease and fell, and my arm went in the grease. And I remember the only thing I said was, Jesus! And we had a steak and shrimp sale that day. And I pulled my arm out, and my arm, the grease bubbled up on it like when you wax your car.
just bubbled up, never burnt my arm or anything. I mean, it was clear up to my elbow. And the guy that was back in the kitchen, he goes, I don't believe I've ever saw that. He said, maybe the grease is cold. So we took some shrimp and we threw it in there with the manager's permission. And then we ate the shrimp. But it fried right up. But my arm did not get fried. Start thinking about, man, if he is that sovereign, how much he takes care of his kids. As the dictionary defines. But I just called out to him. How many knows he hears you when you call? God is not the author of bad things happening to you. That's the enemy. And that's where you have the authority. Isn't it time we started using the authority that God gave us? He says, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If you aren't resisting and there's havoc in your life, what would happen if you started resisting? I don't want to be a playground for the enemy. I don't know about you. I've done that before. I don't like that. That doesn't bring any good fruit at all. I'm just saying, if you're going to let the enemy have at it with you, he will eat your lunch and pop the bag. He does not care. He'll tell you he does, but he does not care. You have to exercise your authority first by submitting to Almighty God. That's what the word says. Submit to God. Then resist the devil. Because you don't have any power without God. It is delegated power. You need to understand that. You can't stand on your own two feet against the enemy. You need God. He's already beaten him. He's already broken him. Really, the choice is up to us. What do we want to do? We've seen so many things in our life that could have went the other way, but we saw it coming, and we took the authority that was given us and just stood there. I know some of you think I'm ornery or silly. Both of those are probably true. But I'm telling you, there's nothing better than God. When Kim and I first went into ministry, they told me, I was the assistant pastor, I was the youth pastor, I was the senior Royal Ranger commander, and I was in charge of VBS, Vacation Bible School, for all of you that don't know what that stands for, and I just had a lot of hats. And we had Vacation Bible School, you know, and that's all, we didn't recreate the way it was already created. So, you know, this is when you do this, this is when you do your craft, this is when you do your snack, yada, yada, yada. Well, a storm came up, and it was, then the sirens went off. There's a tornado sighted in your area, and we're having VBS. So we have, there was almost 200 kids by the end of the week. I mean, there was a lot of little kids, and they're afraid. And their parents can't come and get them because everybody's pretty much locked down because the siren's going off and they're saying, seek shelter, seek shelter. You know, that's always fun. You can hear those things out there. You can hear it in Marion. Do you ever hear that voice? Please seek shelter. And so these kids are down there. They're, you know, they're 6, 5, 7, 8. And they have us take them down in the hall is what we're doing. And we're having them all get in this position. Put your head between your legs and your hands over your head, and these kids are starting, you can hear them, they're starting to cry. And I walked down through the hall and I told everybody, I said, look at me, look at me. And I got these little beautiful eyes that are looking like, please. And I said, listen, your mommy and daddies will be here very soon. This is just a bunch of big wind. It's making a lot of noise. It's going to be okay. And people are like, how can you say that? I'll tell you how I can say that. Because my God is still on the throne. But I had looked at their eyes, and some of them were crying. Some of them were stronger than others, you know. And I was just, I'd go over there, and I'd give them a noogie. Because I started thinking, what would Jesus do? Not to coin a phrase, but would he be like, you all dead meat? He's not going to do that, you know. So I'm just like, and I'd get down to some of them right at their level, and I'd say, look at me. Look right here. Look at my eyes. Did you know it's going to be okay? And they, you know, and I said, in about,
I bet you not before you know it, your parents are going to be here and you're going to have fun the rest of the day. And they'd stop crying. Well, Kim can attest to this. As I walked out of the building, I had enough. Have you ever had enough? I'd had my fill of... Now listen, this is proof positive in my mind. You can go, that's just a coincidence. It won't change what I'm about to tell you. I went outside and people were like, where are you going? PB, where are you going? I went out the front door and I stood out in that parking lot and I put my hands up and I don't know what I know now, but I just felt that. Now listen to me. You know what an unction is? Inside your spirit where you're like, oh man, I need to do something. I need to do that. So I got this unction. You go out and you rebuke that storm. Tell it to go somewhere else. And people are telling me, get back in here. You know, I mean, this wasn't like the SS Poseidon or something, so I don't want to give you this like, but I mean, it was pretty stormy, okay? I mean, it was bad. I mean, you were seeing leaves and branches and stuff. You're hearing them fall, and the sky is black, and it's supposedly coming right at us. I just went and put my hands up, and I said, in the name of Jesus. I didn't have a prayer written out. I didn't have 17 angels that I could see saying, this is what I want you to say. I just said, I rebuke you and I command you to go away. It was that simple. Did you know inside of like 10 minutes or less, that storm stopped and they said, we don't know what happened, but it went another direction. And I was like, I know what happened. Listen, this is, you got to be real quick. Not because I did it, but because I exercised the authority he gave me. Do you get it? I'm just saying, I couldn't do that on my own, but he can do it. What we don't understand is we tie God's hands. He wants to do things. But because he gave that to you, I've done this before, but I just tossed it to you. Yeah, he puts it in his pocket. You got a bigger knife than that. He's got a switchblade. I know him. Anyway, so if I toss that knife to him, and then PK comes and says, Brett, honey, you have your pocket knife. We need to open this. Justin's got it. Gibby's got it. I can't open it with my knife because I don't have it anymore. So I would have to go to him to get my knife back so I could open it. You have been given authority. You have to go to the Father and exercise what he gave you. Believe that you receive. According to Mark 11, 23 and 24, I believe I receive when I pray. Jesus said all power, he said, is given to him. And he took it from the enemy. That's how we got it back. And Jesus said, now I'm giving it to you. So you go to Jesus and say, how do you want me to handle this? Because if we don't use the authority he gave us, you've heard that you're the hands and feet of Jesus. That literally, really is true. He's wanting people to do things, and people are like, and we're waiting. My friends, God is waiting on us. He's already done it. You don't have to wait for me to come and pray if you have somebody in your house sick. You take authority. You're the priest of the home. Take authority. He gave it to you. Believe, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, my baby's got a fever. Rebuke it. Bind it. Well, what if I don't see anything different? You will. Because you're not going by what you see. Come on. I don't have to go by my senses. I go by what the Word says. The Word says you're healed by his stripes. The Bible says, past tense, was healed. We're healed. So even if I have the symptom, then I speak to the symptom. Are you with me? Because I will have what he has for me so that I can demonstrate his glory and people can find him and find the answers they need. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes?